Please call over choice.
All right. This is going to be the Kevin Hart special, but the Kevin Hart special again. I'm a fan of Kevin Hart. This is me, Ray Strong. You're talking to me already. And I was waiting for that special to get funny. And I was legit waiting. You were watching it. And I was like, and we have a lot of friends. You know, we have a lot of fun on the internet. And also, possibly. So this buffering, so buffering, and it took on the load. So it paused it, we went to sleep, and then got a message, man. I have to watch the rest of this special. Cool. And then when he saw it, I had like 5 minutes. I said, you didn't watch the entirety of the special. Like, keep on one bar. Saw that joke. I said, man, if he watched this entire special, and I really loved it. And again, I'm a huge Kevin Hart fan. Really? So.
Hi, Ashley. Ashley's coming in. She's logged in. Javon Moss, what's going on? What's going on with you, Javon? Happy anniversary. I think that just went with you and your wife, right?
Happy anniversary to you.
Yes. Hi, Taria.
Hola, Corley.
Yeah, y'all. It was very close.
Trying to adjust the view. Mm-hmm. Technical issues and stuff. So, we want to get started.
Yeah, I think we're good to get started. So, people.
Hi, Renee Davis.
Hey, guys.
On all the reviews.
Renee said they were out to dinner. Oh, I'm not out to dinner because he's gonna be out right now. Renee, no, I got me getting drunk.
Sorry, because she told him.
No, Renee was having family dinner, but she said that she was going to be here. So thank you for taking your plate and going in the room and watching the live stream.
Happy anniversary.
Who's that?
It's Renee.
Yes.
Who looks almost the exact same other way.
She did. Renee was your secret.
I have to do better on my skin regimen because you look amazing.
Like, Renee just cut her hair and that was it. And it was like 25 years later. I was like, wow, sis.
Cabbage, but you.
Don't. Just a little bit. Okay, so we're back with another episode of the RN Love Podcast where the husband and wife team, Rodney and Nadia, tackle topics like pop culture, parenting, and everything in between. So this season, of course, you know, we shifted and we are doing the Facebook Live now.
Yes.
Where our Facebook family chimes in live during the podcast. We're here, what do you call it, bi-weekly?
Every other week.
Yes.
Twice a month.
Fortnite, not the game. So we're here every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So if you want to join in and share your thoughts, like and follow our page so you don't miss it. Also, if you have any questions you'd like answered during the podcast, shoot us an email, rnlovepodcast@gmail.com.
rnlovepodcast@gmail.com.
Right. So if you missed the live stream, this and past episodes are available on all streaming platforms.
So it's on the Facebook page, on YouTube. And with audio, on any way you get podcast audio, you can get audio on podcast as well. So literally go on Google. I'm just having our love, and then you should be able to pop up.
Hi, Alexandra Rios. That's my good bestie, y'all. Y'all wish y'all had a bestie like that, yeah. So our topic this week, where it stems from. So, somebody reached out to us, one of our good people from Holy Cross Anglican Church, our home church. So, what's that?
You share it with them?
What's that?
And let me tell them about it.
Who? I didn't share it, you know. Somebody reach out to Holy Cross and tell them that we're here because they wanted to see this. Yes. Okay, so we were asked by the marriage ministry that we were a part of when we first joined the church a few years ago. And they had asked us, I don't think they had had any meetings since the pandemic,
sure.
And they wanted to do something for their members. Sure. And so they had us present, podcast style, to their members on oneness in marriage.
Oneness in marriage.
So, you know, you hear the topic and you're like, it's kind of interesting. So let's dive into really what it means, right? And then we deep dive. Who? That's the Dilla? Linda, what you saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we dove into the topic and we found it really interesting. And we actually wanted to continue it today with you guys. So Where does the phrase even come from? The two shall become one. So let me tell you, when we got married, you know, everybody got to get the little aisle runner. Hi, Randy. Randy, hailing up Charlie, liking.
Chico, say Chico.
Hi, Chico. So we had the aisle runner at the wedding, and it said, and the two shall become one. And I was like, oh, yes, marrying my babes. Very excited about it. And you know, because that's a long story. It's a dramatic story too.
It's fun. It's a fun story.
Yeah. But in any event, we had the runner, you know, everybody say, you know, make sure the two becomes one. And I wanna see in the comments, how or what do you think the two shall become one means? Anybody want to take a stab at that and tell us what it means?
And thanks, Lisa. Yes, our shirt is done by our sponsor, To Each Their Own. They sponsor us, and they not their pass the shirt as well, but we will take the shirt, so but they sponsor us. So anything, we'll leave the details in the chat.
Yeah.
But they're easy to find. They're To Each Their Own 242.com. TeachTheirOwn242.com. I'm on Facebook, To Each Their Own.
But so back to my comments. Can anybody tell me what the two shall become one means? Because to me it just sounded nice. A nice thing to say.
It said a lot of the churches, everybody saying it's mathematically doesn't make sense. So it always something that piques interest. And I think a lot of personal questioning, you know, saying what it is to two shall become one. So anybody got any input on the means?
Renee Davies says, blending your lives. What I mean, and so that brings us to the question that we had, right? Because what does it mean to blend your life? What does it mean to take like two different individuals and make them one? So we found that the phrase came from a biblical passage.
That's most things in churches.
Mm-hmm. Ephesians 5:21-33.
Most things in churches often misquoted.
Yeah, which pretty much gives you the blueprint for the Christian household. First of all, I went through marriage counseling. Nobody told me about Ephesians 5:21-33. So here I am walking blind into this marriage thinking I didn't know everything because I went to the 14 weeks of classes and we good.
Someone said something about what you want. Even when we were preparing, because Nadia's really awesome in terms of preparing these kind of talks. So she's preparing the talks and she was like, we can solve the Bible verse and go from the Bible verse. So she keeps on saying Ephesians 5:22. Ephesians 5:22. Why is man's husband? I say, babe, there's a verse we call it. No, it's not. Yeah, it's always cool. 5:22. I say, no, what? This is like a 5:21. Just to see how it starts, because I was taught later on that people tend to forget that part. Mm-hmm. We always start at 5:22 when it comes to reading the name of the church. Yeah. So when Nods and other research, you found that before we get into that, we're going to talk about what the people say.
So Renee says it doesn't mean leaving or neglecting yourself and losing yourself in the marriage. Renee is on the money.
She is.
On the money tonight. Food.
Say hi, Danielle.
Linda says, live for each other and leave your mother and father and become one with your mate. So that is actually in there. So for the persons who aren't saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost and got their memory verses popping like back to your mind.
She's talking about me. Right. I'm not saying that.
Yeah. So
read the bar from 22.
The whole thing?
Just going to read the bar.
Yeah, I was just going to.
It's a part of research and I apologize. So I just ad hoc right now.
So the more famous verse is, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and become joined unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So most people. Chico says.
See, even clue, Deandre says.
Yeah, Deandre says even clue. So what most wives take it for is, don't have your mommy in our business because you left them. Come into our marriage.
And what's awesome is gonna let your daddy do all this stuff because you have him come into our marriage.
Mm-hmm. Chico says it's based on the biblical structure for marriage stated in Genesis 2:24 creations, reemphasized by Christ in Mark 10:8-10. And by Paul in Ephesians 5.
And we are also in Ephesians 5 now.
Yes. Okay. So
what extra reading? Those are the extra
do your homework. I hope. I didn't know this was going to be a Bible study, but here we are. So take down your verses that were dropped in the chat and go read for yourself. But I dropped you one first. Okay? And it's on a Sunday. That's true. So what does that mean,
yeah.
Renee says it doesn't work quite like that. So in our presentation, like we dove into the whole thing, all the verse and what it says, right? But the part that stood out to us the most is the question that it really poses. Like, so he leaves his mom and dad and come to me and we, you know, we become one. I am to submit to him. He's to submit to God. Everybody's submitting to everybody. But what does that really mean? So do you really leave who you are as an individual and totally become one? Like, what does oneness mean? Does that mean that I can't go back to who I was because, like, we're in this new body together, like, in marriage? So Chico's saying that it means that individuals, the two persons become part of a spiritual union, a holy covenant between a man and a woman in the presence of God, ultimately foreshadowing the union of Christ and his church. Your thoughts?
So I love that, and even to go from the Bible verse. So usually in how Nod's broke it down is that, that's in Ephesians 5, she said that's the blueprint. It was a question posed in the Bible that all the answers. So Paul essentially gave them a blueprint on this is how you live and believe and how you become one. And what people oftentimes start with is that Ephesians 5:22, women are to submit unto your husbands, and then men are to love the wives of Christ in the church. But what we found out is in 21, and that's how I was taught, is that submit unto each other. So that's the first thing you do, submit unto each other. And then it explains how you submit unto each other. Women submit by submitting to her husband, and a man submits by loving his wife as Christ of the church. And how does that look? And how we broke it down again, outside the awesome, inside of that. How we broke it down is that a man needs to be a man, a husband we're submitting to.
Yeah.
And then a woman needs to be a wife worth dying for.
Yeah.
So if that's your, that should be your standard. And once that's your standard, then you can do everything. That's everything. It's all shit. So I'm going to break it down, but it's just a session. Mom, how's it going to go?
So, essentially, with the presentation, what we said was, okay.
Because that's what you said. But she literally added step one, step two, which is awesome.
Right.
Step one, two, and six.
The path to oneness. Now, we're going to get into individuality. So, but to get to achieve oneness, you have to be a man, so it starts with the man. You have to be a man that knows God.
Yes.
That loves yourself.
Yes.
You recognize who you are as an individual. You treat yourself well.
With love.
With love. And you understand how treating others with love is a reflection of how you treat yourself with love. Cool. That's who you are, and you submit to God's plan.
So all this before you even get married. It's just this is the money to help bring this in.
That's the start. Then, so we say, okay, then the woman is to recognize that she found a man who knows God.
Yes.
Understands who he is as a person.
Yes.
Has the capability of loving.
Yes.
You know, sometimes you get hooked up with some people who don't know how to love, but we think we can fix it. No, don't fool with that girl. So, she sees the man. She understands who he is. He knows how to treat himself and to treat others.
Yes.
And he is submitted unto God.
Yes.
Y'all two get together. You, as a woman, submit unto him because he is already a person who knows how to submit to God.
Yes.
What else was there?
And then once you do that, then you can ask because he needs to love you.
Yes.
How he shows he loves you by how he loves himself because the man needs to love his wife. Take care of his wife as his own flesh.
Yeah.
So once he can show all those things, then you submit to him, and then you guys submit to God, and you guys are under the covering of God. Because the woman's under the covering of the husband under the covering of God, you're all under the covering of God. And that's all submission.
And that's how all of this needs to happen. And then the last verses, and then she shows reverence to him.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Pretty much you'll earn respect.
But it's
just on
respect.
It's just on giving it to him. And why that's such an awesome, yeah, when we broke, when not even really broke it down, why it's such an awesome thing, because we tend to take it for granted. We tend to not really know how it is. All we hear is that women need to listen to husband. Women need to listen to husband. But at the same time, too, husbands need to do something about to listen to.
Yes.
It can't just be like, you need to submit to your husband, submit to your husband. A lot of problems, one of the questions was, what impact does not being in oneness have on the society? And one of the issues, and obstacles to oneness.
Yeah.
And one of the obstacles was that, for one, the woman submit to the wrong type of person.
Yeah.
And then, two, a man literally trying to die for the wrong type of woman. So those things are imperative. And again, too, when we say that, we're not saying that you need to be this perfect person.
It's not.
Because again, we were together from teenagers. Mm-hmm. So the Rodney now, the Nadia now is on the Nadia Rodney of high school.
Literally.
But at the same time too, I can say, and I guess both me and Nadia can say, we have the structure and the foundation now that we're able to build upon. And yes, we went through a lot, and yes, we grew, and yes, we had that vision for each other. But more importantly too, we understood the standard that we're trying to uphold. And that was very important. And the next person who broke it down was Miles Perot. And I wish I knew which sermon it was, but he pretty much used Adam as the barometer, as the standard, the benchmark. So what it was, before Adam even found his wife, Adam was had a relationship with God.
Yeah.
Because he's a walking, talking God, and he had his work. His assignment was to be steward of the earth. So he already had, he knew God, he knew himself, and he had his work. Mm-hmm. Then God said, you know what, it's not good for man to be by himself, I'll give him a wife. And that's the thing that's very important. And why it's very important for you to know who you are, too, because you're taking on a whole other person. And if you don't know how to lead yourself and carry yourself, then that means it's going to be unfair for the person you're going to lead and going to carry. Especially when you are on the tool of the links in the vision.
Listen, so the chat is like, I didn't realize that we had so much experts, right? So Linda says you have to respect each other, love each other, and have communication with each other, and understand love, and tie as one. But put God first in your relationship, and I agree.
Always.
And Chico says individuality remains, but there's oneness in accord. Under God. I'm not saying it right, Chico. English can be hard sometimes. I'm
it's
sorry.
It's a beautiful structure, man. Fully understood.
Yeah. Hi, Shanta.
Yeah, totally agree, man. We I think we are all oneness.
So here's the thing, right? So we understand oneness.
Yes.
Cool.
Thank everybody.
Let's say we understand those steps and we got there. And I hear putting my hand in this camera like my nails fixed. Wow. So, what happens to your individuality now? So, when you met me, I was outgoing. When you met me, I was your, let's say, your cooler. Like, you know, I can bring you down off of the ledge. Like, when you met me, I was this and that. So, we achieved oneness. So, does that necessarily mean now that I have to change who I am? Now that I'm married?
Yeah. The beautiful thing is, well, and that's why I always like giving talks and giving presentations, because it causes you to stretch. It causes you to seek information. And it causes you to go to people who are wise than you. And we were, again, now you found TJ's give a sermon on it in terms of being who you are, sitting in the marriage. And how TJ's created it, he's saying that he is a outgoing, outdoor person. He likes to be in the midst. His wife is not that. His wife is reserved, his wife likes to be away from the thing. So what do you call it? He called it a business. What it is, and it's turns to what you get too, what it is that you have to, one, understand who you are, the type of person you are, and two, understand the type of person your spouse is. So what he did is at times is a give and take. So if he totally say, you know what, the wife doesn't like for me to go out, was at the party, so I would totally stop going out to the parties now. He is going to grow into this person that he didn't recognize because that's taking away from something he likes to do. But the inverse of it is that's true as well. If the wife only goes to the parties with him, she's not feeling comfortable and there was a sense of self. So what he said is that we need to visit people where they are. So there got to be some compromise, possibly some sort of compromise where she goes to some of the parties and there got to be some compromise where he stays home without just a little bit more.
So, I mean, for us, Renee says, absolutely not. Like, you do not lose yourself. Andrew says, marriage reveals and enhances who you are to each other.
I love that. So
for us, practical application, right? And again, after 9 years of marriage, I really wish that this was something that was a bigger focus for married people or people who are intentional about getting married or dating or just dating, because you need to recognize what it is that you're looking for and know what you're looking for before you even get committed to these things. Because these people could be fly traps. So, and then you're stuck. So, individuality is something that's very important because ultimately, right, you are attracted to me for some reason. Like, yes. It was not just this. The skin. these big lips, those big doughy eyes. It wasn't just that. It was my personality. Yes. There was something about me that you liked. Like, I love the fact that Rodney made me laugh. And then when you get married, you be like, all you want to do is laugh about things. Everything is a big joke to you.
It is a key.
We found ourselves doing early on in our marriage is really, we came upon a lot of conflicts because we kept trying to change for each other. Yeah. Right? And it wasn't working because, number one, you can only change for so long, number one. Number two, I could tell you to change, but then I'm not quite sure what I want you to change into, because, I mean, I don't know. Like, this doesn't even feel right, because now you're taking away what I was attracted to.
What brought you to the table.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, too. Hold on, wait.
Chico says, my brain just clicked with one of your statements. They never mentioned this during your counseling in a Christian institution. That's a problem. That is the foundation.
Chico, we have a ton of stories of people with conflicting advice from the Christian people. And if we just, to answer Chico's thing, when we were having fun in our first year of marriage and we needed to seek some help.
No, don't go there.
Okay. Anyway, so.
So, but in any event, yes. I wouldn't say that our marriage counseling wasn't good. You know, we had very good sessions. We got two different priests who gave us some very good sessions and some good advice that we still use to this day in our marriage, right? Yeah. So don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that I wish that this, Ephesians 5, was included in the whole package so that I could have had that information as well. So I'm not saying that, you know, I don't read Bible and stuff, but like how people get into Bible study and like certain things that you need to focus on and understand the importance of it, I think that would have been beneficial to us at the time. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
And then too, if you were to be fair to our priest at the time, 12 to 14 weeks to prepare you for a lifetime is never enough time. So I think they only, and it was only like an hour, maybe on a Wednesday, half an hour on a Wednesday. So he did what he can. I think he put so much information in there. It's just not just one of those things. And I thought he had like a huge minor that he couldn't even get to. And then again, the things you receive then aren't the things you receive now because you're in a different space mentally, emotionally, physically.
So let's dive back into individuality, right? So what we were saying before was that you really shouldn't change who you are, lose yourself. There was literally one time I could remember, and like I can call it to this day, we had been invited to a friend's house for vision board party. So shout out to the Palacious.
Love for
the Palacious people.
Beautiful kids, by the way.
Oh my
gosh.
Beautiful
people. And that's not too many beautiful kids.
So, and is Angela, right?
Who? The mom?
The mom.
Yes.
The Angela Palacious
awesome.
Is there.
That's beautiful.
She was there as well.
Is that his Jameson?
So yeah, mom, he's nice. Really you can't know walking though, because he's a speed walking.
Because he was singing to pieces. So.
Isn't the thing we didn't do karaoke?
I wouldn't lose it.
Anyway, focus. Okay, so we went there, and at one point, I was talking to Reverend Palacious.
Yes.
The mom, Angela. And I was telling her how I felt about something as we were plotting out the vision board, because I felt like a part of my vision was kind of blocked.
Yeah.
Because it
was a powerful night.
It changed so much. And she said, so is it that you feel like you need to increase so that he can, you need to decrease so that he can increase? And it was the first time that like somebody verbalized how I felt. And I said, wow. And she's like, yeah, that's not necessarily what you need to do. And you need to explore that. And so that's why it's really good to be around people.
Good people
who talk in sense.
Good people.
I'll appreciate that and remember her for that for the rest of my life.
Oh, sorry.
honestly, it's something that you need to explore because at the end of the day, who I am as an individual adds value to who we are together as one.
And the thing is, the crazy thing about stuff like that is that you'll be surprised whose advice you're following and what led you to that decision, because it was never a case where me nor Nadia say, Rodney, you need to change, or not, you need to change. It's just that certain things you think are expected So you subconsciously now going on this path and this way, and then again you lose who you are. Like, you look at yourself saying, this is not who I am. Like, how did I get to this point? And then when you have to peel the back, you know what? I'm trying to make sure she's happy. Then you ask yourself, did she explicitly ask for this? Like, no. She said she wanted something else, but I assumed that she meant this. Or because I saw someone else else do that, I think that's what she wanted. And I said, that's not what it is, because at the end of the day, simple answer, you know what? I like to laugh. Case, I don't think this happened, but just as a case in point, I like to laugh, I like to make her laugh. And she says that was a kiki all the time, so I just stopped being happy. But that's not what she meant. She meant this is a serious situation. Take this situation serious. Not stop being happy and being jovial. Just be serious in this situation. And then me thinking in the process, you know, when she doesn't want me to kiki in, is that's what happened. And I think that's the confusion. But that's the beauty of marriage. And that's the importance of having the right people around you.
Ashanta Gibson says, it's easy to become lost in some girl talk it. She said more, but ooh, talk it. Yeah. So you must first know who you are and whose you are. Communication is key. Talk, 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 even when there is nothing to talk about. In marriage, you learn something new every day about your spouse. After 18 years of marriage, I'm still learning about my husband.
Yep.
Losing yourself in someone.
That's a beautiful, that's a complex beautiful thing. And it's so profound, because what it is, you're, and so this is my story for that. Early on, I've even been, yeah, someone. But some people are just like, oh, you always been getting 9 years. Other people are like, wow, 9 years? I enjoy even though we've been married for 9 years, I always come to time before marriage. You know, it changed. I always want to change being dating, being married. So I was like, you know what? I need to be this person for her. I need to be this person for her. I need to make sure I'm that person for her. But it got to a point where I was, you know what? She's going to be sure. I say, go for it. She would be straight. I could be second. She would be sure. I'd be second. Make sure she's fine. And got to a point where I wasn't taking care of myself.
Yes.
Whether it's emotionally, especially emotionally, spiritually, mentally, financially, because I just wasn't taking care of myself because I always made sure that she's fine. But what that in turn causes that, if I can't take care of myself, then I can't take care of her. So I had to search out the answers, and one of the answers I found was that, and tie it back to Ephesians 5, love God first, then love yourself.
Yeah.
So what would that, and even though that's such a simplistic line, like when Jesus said, the answer was the greatest commandments, love your God, why your heart, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. What that means that, that's the order, love God, that you love yourself, that you love your neighbor as you love yourself. And what that practically means that, to me, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, that's what it means to me. I need to have such a high level of care and due care and attention for myself. That means God, and that means me, Bradley, maybe God, and nothing needs to come before me. Because when something comes before me, I'm teaching myself that my level of love is at something that comes before that thing.
Yeah.
That's my level of love. That's how I love myself. Man loves his wife, he loves his flesh. So how I love my flesh is something that comes before my flesh. That means in turn, how I love my wife is something that comes before my wife. Whether it's work, whether it's civic organizations, whether it's friends, whether it's whatever. Because that's how I show myself love. So I had to unprogram that. And I could reprogram myself, say, you know what? God, then Rodney. Nothing, and then everything else come after. Uh-huh. And what that turned into, amazingly what that turned into, is that nothing came before my wife or my children but God. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, that to me was such a complex thought. Because like, if I'm saying I'm nothing comes before my self-love with God, but at the same time I'm loving Nadia the same way, I still didn't understand it. But all that means is that I only can love Nadia based on how I love myself. So if I love myself in the way that I'm top priority, that means whenever it comes to Nadia, who I love, that makes flesh. Because the two became one, she is top priority.
Because it's like you kind of top up yourself, and then that's how you're able to top up others. Yeah. So, like, you know, it's almost like you can't pour from an empty cup.
Correct.
Same concept, yeah. Kimberly, hi Kimberly. How you doing? We got an amen from Gigo. And you know, if you've been listening before, you got to work hard to get an amen from Gigo.
Yeah, and even the bridge too. So once I discovered self-love, that's where I regained my individuality. That's where I regained, it's okay, this is who Rodney is. These things Rodney likes, these things Rodney doesn't like. And I realized that I solved a lot of the issues, because especially communication, it's going to be tough for me to communicate what's wrong if I don't know what's wrong.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough for me to say, you know what, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, if I don't know that myself. I need to know what makes me happy. I need to know what makes me sad.
I didn't know it was reversionary rest spots. I didn't know what the sound made feeling. So I'm at the same now where I articulate those things. I say, you know what, this is not a good time for me. Give me a few minutes of me just unwind. Let me go decompress. I call it unplug. Let me just unplug. Because I didn't know the direction I'm going on. So I recognize that. So now I recognize that with her. So when I see a little tense or I see whatever, I say, you know what, need some tea, need me to put on says, need
it's
me to
get some space. It's always
tea, though. Tea is
not, I don't know. That's not English. It's always tea.
So because yeah. because I recognize it with me, I now recognize it with her, and I recognize it with the kids, I say, you know what, just before I get to the situation, especially Ross, I say, you're getting upset, so before you say something, get yourself in trouble, let's just breathe. And the thing is, now, I don't say that anger, I don't say that frustration, and even when they're in the state where, you know, they get upset and they snap, I understand, because I saw that getting to that point. And because I have that grace for me, I don't have that grace for them.
So let's talk practical applications, and you can drop it in the chat what that means to you, right? Women are not mind readers either, says Ashanta.
Nobody's mind reader. Since Ashanta,
hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Hold on for a second. Rodney is a mind reader. Since you don't want to talk here, Rodney is a mind reader. Let me tell you all, Rodney is a mind reader. We've been together for forever and a day.
Jesus, a powerful evil. Not from good all done. Look at it.
Rodney is a mind reader. Rodney knows how I think so well that we used to actually test it back in the day. Like, I literally did not have to say anything at all. And down to the food that I wanted to eat, where I wanted to go, what I wanted to do, he already knew it. I just had to look at Rodney with his big eyes. And he already knew it. Here's where it got us in trouble. Mind reading got us in trouble because he got to the point where he's like, okay, I need you to plainly say what it is that you want now. And I'm like, why? Because you already know how to translate my looks. I don't understand why we need to talk now. Talking is so like 2015. What were we doing this about? And he's like, no, like it's good for communication. But it was though. I didn't like it because then I had to like find words and stuff. And you know, English can be so Englishy some days. But like, honestly, it helped us to improve our communication skills. I'm not saying that we are there yet. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that we're better than we were.
Yeah. Even that, and why, so I can be very sensitive to energies and how people feel, people thinking. We spend so much time together, and I enjoy your company, so try to be preemptive. And how that got me self in trouble, because I was shooting in the foot, is that because, again, and this is really on trying to be that thing for her, trying to mold myself that for her, that I lost what it was. And it's like people change their viewpoints. So, how she felt today is how she felt tomorrow. And the thing is, especially on certain pointed things, it was like I'm trying to guess. I'm trying to assume what she meant prior, but like it changed because circumstances changed,
and I
perspective changed, or she changed. So it's like for me, it was really confusing because what she wanted in this situation last year is not what she wanted in the situation this year. But it's like me and that. So I got to the point, you know what? You need to tell me exactly what it is.
He said, "Forget it." Because he was over it. He said, "Sis, open your mouth and talk."
Because how that came about is all is amazing. Things happen simultaneously. Because that's how I became with myself. I stopped assuming how I felt. I plainly say how I feel. I plain, and I'm plain speaking. You know me, I'm plain speaking. Because I understand how miscommunication can happen. Because either you're trying to find the right words to say, or you don't want to hurt someone's feelings, or you're just trying to skirt around certain things. I stammer. I talk fast. I do a lot of speaking the events. I don't have time for that. So I need you to know this is how I feel. Because what makes it worse, I'm grasping these feelings now. Because I didn't necessarily grow up saying, I feel this way, you made me feel sad, you made me feel happy, I don't like this. No, it's like, shut up, you're a child, but this is this. So now as an adult, I'm saying, you know what, I don't like this situation. I don't like this situation. I'd rather address it now so it doesn't become an issue further on. So I taught myself that. I'm teaching her that. I'm teaching the kids that. Because I think that can preempt so much issues. If we just nip these things in the bud, from that first feeling, you know what, babe, this don't feel right. Cool, this don't feel right. And one thing I always tell them, right, because I tell myself that, your feelings aren't right or wrong. Your feelings are your feelings. So don't ever feel like you need to justify how you feel about something.
That's not fair. My thing is, if I feel insecure about something,
that's what it is.
If you make me feel a little bit insecure, that's not going to help. So I need to be able to be vulnerable, be negative, be one, because that's my flesh. This is how I feel. I don't like talking to this person. I don't like talking to that person. I don't like being in this situation. I don't like being in this house. I don't like being around X, Y, and Z. Say that, because that's where you get comfortable, and that's where the tool continues to be comfortable.
Okay, so Ashley says, I must use my powers for good, not. Why?
That's what you're talking about.
Ashanta says, wow. Chico says, T plus communication, that's a good man. It's good stuff right there.
But I would definitely say my wife definitely taught me the art of communication, because she verbalized how she feels. So, I didn't.
Practical applications for individuality. Mr. Pratt, it turns out he's like, oh, watching, that's my English teacher, whom I love dearly, and Sophia Smith. Y'all, English is hard tonight. I don't know what's going on. So if we're looking at the practical applications of individuality versus oneness, what does that mean? Yes. So if you met her in the club,
shake it up, pom pom.
And you say, okay, so we together now. I need you to not go to the club anymore. That's not necessarily fair. So I'm not saying that, you know, y'all have to be there all the time. What I'm saying is, oneness versus individuality now, like, we got to come to compromise. It's a big, this is why compromise is so big in marriage, right? Mm-hmm. Not just on the issues at hand, but the things that we want to do. Because she may want to go to the club because she loves to dance, and she loves the loud music, and she loves just being there. Mm-hmm. So many people, you know, that gives her energy. That fills up her cup right now. It doesn't necessarily fill your cup of what you was doing when you found her in the club anyway.
Trying to fill your cup.
Yeah, you must like that flavor a little bit. So, yeah, so that's definitely something that y'all have to compromise on. So maybe once a quarter, y'all go for date night and y'all go in the club. Or you make sure that you take her dancing or you know, you go to concerts where there's loud music. So that her cup is filled. Okay. But what that means for her as well is that there's a compromise that, okay, I understand that my partner is making a sacrifice for me to help to concrete my, or solidify my individuality. So I'm going to compromise to say, okay, sometimes I'm going to do the quiet things that he likes. I'm going to read the books and we're going to just spend some time together, quiet time together for our date nights. And so that's a practical application. Renee said, that's a no. What about the club, Renee? People like the club. I don't know who still goes to clubs, but I know they and me. But, child, no, we're COVID.
I know. We're
COVID.
What we tend to do in that scenario is we assume that they know. And we say, well, we assume that you're married now, so you need to change your mind. And well, that's unfair, because it's an unfair balance of the equation, because they don't know that I share expectations. So they don't know that they're not meeting the expectations. What I was told is that what we do when we get married is that we tend to have a box of expectations that we gift our partner.
Yeah.
But how we choose to give them is we keep it to ourselves. And every time they step online, we go back to that box and we look up and say, you know what? You're not fulfilling this expectation of what I expect a woman to be. Or you're not fulfilling that expectation of what I expect a husband to be. Mind you, you never gifted this person this thing. One. Two. They never agreed to these terms.
So the this terms is and agreements of the marriage.
And that's where the conflict is up. And that's where a lot of conflict arises, because we don't have that discussion prior and say, this is what I expect from my husband. This is what I expect from my wife. And the thing is, why that's such a conflict? Because when persons get married, they're two different people, which is already a conflict. They come from two different homes,
yeah,
two different upbringings,
okay,
two different schools, two different churches, sometimes different countries. There's so many areas of conflict
that we're trying to marry into one.
So, and the thing is, something has to give. But what helps that, it doesn't eliminate it, but what helps the conflict to move along easy is to let the person know their expectations. You might be a guy who woke up every day and mommy's on breakfast ready. She might be a lady who woke up every day and mommy's at work. So she didn't see the need of breakfast is on the go for her, because that's just practical though.
Yeah.
For you, you have time in the morning. So now you're getting up upset because you want to smell eggs in the morning. Did you even discuss with her that that's
and you just walking past her, look at this woman who don't even know how to break an egg.
But she might be working like 20-hour shifts. You don't know the practical implications of it. So my thing is, that's where a lot of conflicts happen. And that's where we lose ourselves as well too. Because now we're trying to be that thing or that level of expectation where we think our spouse wants. And our spouse is maybe less. No, because your mom probably could have cooked breakfast in the morning, but she wasn't working until later. Or she had time to get up. We notice there's different things in expectation. And hey, maybe your wife doesn't want to cook. She still has the right to not want to cook. If you get up early, bro, then you need to cook. Our rule was whoever reaches home first starts cooking.
Ever reach to the stove first, so
that's so complex. And hear one guy say he wait, this wife was off and he was home and he waited till she come home to cook. I say, bro, she's working. You got this, we gotta cook for her.
The food done seasoned in the fridge.
He gonna take the meat out of the fridge.
I was in the fridge. What?
Wouldn't be good when I became an adult and realize how infuriating it is.
Okay.
When we call it saying take the meat out of the freezer.
Take the meat out of the fridge.
As a child, I never go when I'm such a big deal. As an adult, you know my time you cost me because you just didn't let the meat sit in the sink. Mm-hmm. Then it's gonna have to dethaw, like, you know how much time you cost me just now. So it seems like that. So
you cost me a flash. Like that used to put a panic in me. Let them call and say take the meat out of the freezer.
And then they call like 10 something, and they call it 10 something.
You know they get off at 4, they could be home by 5.
Make sure I put the meat in the same thing out of the freezer. They go to your
2 or 3. Yeah. You remember most of the time getting meat out of the freezer.
2 or 3 better than me. They had a gate clink, clink, clink. See. And you run it, trying to run a bottle of water on it. So those things are important when we become one. It's just going back to understanding who you are, understanding what your spouse is expected to be. And then having that conversation, so many things can be corrected and avoided with a conversation. Just have a conversation about it, and then prior discussion myself. But so many things, and that's how I like talking, so that's what I realized that conversation is not important.
DeAndre's here laughing at us. I mean,
you see your roof? That's better,
buddy. I'm Alex. So, our practical application. So yeah, when you have an opportunity, if you're dating somebody, if you're married, I think what would be very good, just thought of it on the fly, we'll probably do this when the podcast is over, is to sit down, get old school, you get a sheet of paper, I get a sheet of paper, and I write down what I would describe my personality as and what I enjoy doing. You write down what you describe your personality as and what you enjoy doing. And put a little line at the bottom of that. Describe each other's personality underneath that. Mm-hmm. Switch papers.
It's a newlywed game.
It would be like the newlywed game. So it's like you would learn so much about your spouse if you read what they think of themselves and what they enjoy doing. I'd be like, I didn't know you like painting.
No.
When since we never painted? You never asked me about painting.
No.
Oh, okay. But it's a good way to discover each other. Some things you'd be like, okay, I knew that. But maybe we can incorporate it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Okay? Because ultimately, if you can both appreciate who you are as individuals, you can compromise to make sure that, okay, for this situation, your personality should really shine. For this situation, maybe it'll come down a little bit. But I, at the end of the day, I want you to not stay in a state where you're decreased or stay in a state where, like, you're increased. But we have to find a balance throughout it. So we're always moving and making adjustments. Mm-hmm. But if it's working for us and we're working together, bam, that's oneness.
Yeah.
And look at that.
That's such a pretty good explanation. Andrew said earlier in the conversation that marriage brings out certain things in people and positive things that Edgar Harvey wrote of essentially talking about how marriage can bring it out. Like, why we want to bring that back up? I think it ties
to marriage this. Reveals and enhances who you are to each other.
Marriage reveals and enhances who you are to each
That's
other.
That's what he said.
Why Andrew, to me, that so profound, I think it did. Nadia was a more outgoing person. And in my opinion, she's a little more outgoing person. And I was more the reserved person.
He was. Y'all can believe that? Could y'all believe this man did not like to talk?
And what it was that being around her revealed something in me, and then vice versa. So all it was, I don't think we necessarily took anything away or anything away. Just we revealed things to each other. So when I realized being with her, it's not that I didn't like to talk. I didn't like to be out. It's just the people who I was already like being out with them. Or the places I was, you know, I didn't like to be out. And I realized that being with her, so, you know, I like being around. So just, as I was saying, enhance who I was.
and then vice versa. Now she's a big speaker, and she's one of the arguing about Shaw and stuff. But she has speaking engagements. She has more speaking engagements to be this one. But she's a big speaker now. But it was always in her. I mean, we hear her presenting now, and this is just an element. I mean, I think this is an element. So all this, we give and take, and again, we bother to each other, and we become one. But at the end, you are who you are at your core. What I always would want for persons to, again, be practical, is that we accept people. What we tend to do is that we see things in other persons, especially if you're already married and you want to change it. Certain things need to change, I agree, but certain things is who they are at their core. Accept it, because that's what drew you to them.
Yes.
You have to, like, that's what it is. My thing is, if the person is a jovial person, and one thing I noticed too, and this is what we know as a martial, is when to, you have to dive deep. It's uncomfortable, you have to dive deep. When it's you be naked with your wife or your spouse, I mean, it's so profound, not just physically naked, but emotionally naked. The reason why the person might be jovial at the time, because they might be protecting some sort of hurt.
Yeah.
That might be why they're so jovial at the time, and then you might be there to help them get over that.
Like a distraction technique.
It's a distraction from, like, the mask of the clowns, mask of the tears of a clown. So it might be something like that they need to get over. So it's not necessarily that they're not to be happy all the time, it's that they just probably have some innate hurts and some issues that they need to just need to get over. Mm-hmm. They may not be like to be around large crowds because they have some traumatic happening with them. So that's where you have to be mindful of the person you're with. So you can't just say, well, you never want to take me to no love. It might be the places you want
to
go.
Yeah, if I gotta run when I go to this place, I'm like, this is not a track of man and I'm not signed up. The same where I wanna go.
Yeah.
But Ashanta says, God's design of two become one is beautiful. Is a beautiful mystery. It was a good mystery too, because
that unfurled everything.
It took time for us to find it.
We're still learning it. But if you got it from day one of March, we're following you now.
Rafe says I know him to talk. This one used to play so shy and so cute.
Yeah.
And so when he came out of his shell, I was like, oh, pack some of that back in. It's a lot happening. And but it was beautiful watching the process of him blossom though. And then in turn, I'm gonna make myself sound so mean in this. But he taught me how to be cordial.
amicable, and nicer
to people, because for the person who I automatically just my spirit, because you know that's the old people say my spirit take too, you would never know that I am not necessarily the warmest person to everyone. But for those who were outside of that, and like it took a little, you had to leave the car running, it took a time for me to warm up to you. That was a hard process. So, yeah. But I learned that through him because, you know, he's very engaging.
Yeah, and the thing is, what I had to teach us, see, you're friends, everybody's friends, and these people aren't necessarily friends, you know. I said, I'm friendly, but they're not necessarily friends. I just believe in being polite.
I have to smile?
Yeah, my thing is, why, again, you reciprocate behavior. Wow. I was, again, I've been taught all through life, so I was taught, if you know me for a long time, or just don't know me, I guess, I can be very aggressive. My countenance is very aggressive. So, again, burly, deep voice, a lot of hair. There's not necessarily the most warm person you give me at times, especially because they have locks and stuff. So, when I was in school, somebody did something, and then they mistakenly did something, and I mashed up my face, like it hurt, and the person was legit afraid. And I was like, wait, why is this person so terrified? Like, I don't want people to see me terrified. And then they thought something's gonna happen, so that when they clicked. And then the second thing would double the lesson for me was that someone said, Ryan or Richie, she's over here. Sorry, your husband. Hannah, thank you, Uji. Sorry, Miss Hannah. Ryan, Hannah, me, Aubrey, when we were in school, I think grade 10 or 11, she said, her dad taught her, that's why I always love Miss Aubrey, her dad taught her, say, there is 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour, 24 hours in a day. Why is the second being inside?
Yeah.
Life is short. So I took that seriously. I said, you know, I'm going to make the best of this time. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to be smiling. And at the end of the day, when people ask you, why are you doing? They don't really care. So my thing, I always be polite.
Yeah.
So I always be smart, be polite. I don't want to be that person. I said, Mr. Grumpfish, this long-faced person. Come around.
But I grow up, if you met my parents, like, they're literally, like, polar opposites of each other. So my dad's resting and continuous face unless he smiles. is like one of like, is very stoic, it's very serious, it's very intimidating. So me, like, that's typically my wrestling face, and I'm sure y'all have seen it during the broadcast. it looks could kill, I could slash y'all. Serial killer over here. But I had to learn from Rodney that, you know, that's not necessary. And that's the good thing about individuality versus oneness. Like, you have this symbiosis where you learn from each other. You right. And then you keep that happening. And that's how you, as one, like, you know, become stronger. Deonna said, I'm telling her story. Listen, wrestling faces are real. Why are you smiling all the time?
Yeah, one of
them. And I have such a lovely smile, right? But
she does have a beautiful smile.
But...
And the thing is, I didn't think
my cheeks started to hurt after a while. Like, it's a lot happening.
I met someone and said, recently, I think this is the last year when I still work, I smile. It's when I say good morning. If I don't smile, I say good morning. Because my thing is, I say good morning to everybody. So I say good morning. I think so done. I say good morning. And they say, why are you smiling at me? And I say good morning. You don't have to fake smile at me. Enjoy the rest of the day, mom. And I walked out. Because my thing is, you clearly projected something on me. I have never met this woman before in my life. I don't know who she is. I just said good morning. Because I was being polite. She didn't go back. So then I'm being fake. So when I meet people like that, the garbage truck. Mm-hmm. People try to dump on you. I don't take it on.
Nope.
Heisman did that. And I know, because my thing is, I got to buy this shoe. They're like, miss, you having a rough day. The fella don't call you back. I don't care. I really don't care what happened to you.
I mean, like, that's legit what happened. So you don't understand how much you project what's going on in your life onto somebody with your interactions with them. And some people, it takes a while for it to seep out. And some people is like, the first person who talked to me to catch it. No, sis, don't do that. Don't do that there.
I don't like that, so I don't be that to people. So.
Ashanta says, let's focus. Opposites are healthy. It brings balance to the relationship. Rafe says, cool, brother. Chico says, only Rodney. And I am talking sense. Chico, you understand. Only Rodney would learn a profound life lesson from matching his toe. Real talk.
If you want to learn, you can feel. And Chico, that's just, I think life is so, so beautiful. And I think the Lord talks to us in every aspect. I try to find his voice in everything. So for my hero question, I try to find the answer. So it could be a conversation with my lovely wife, a conversation with my beautiful kids, or just a random song on the radio. My thing is, that's God talking. I know his infinite wisdom. I know he's everywhere. I know he cares about my smallest concerns. So whenever I have some sort of stuff, I just quietly listen. And that's the next thing, if you don't know me, one thing is I do like to do is be by myself. I do like to be quiet. I do like to be by myself because it's in those moments I listen. And it's like, even though I tend to be the loud person in the room or the jovial person, the center of attention, why I do that is not because I need to be self-fulfilled in any way, you know, as I'd rather just sit to my desk and be quiet. I do that because I see there's a void. I was taught, I think from Mrs. Felicia's, but I was taught that, this guy, you ought to be the light of the world. So when I say you be the light of the world, what that means is that whatever your world is, like, we are charged as Christians to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the earth. So whatever your world is, your circle of influence. We see
something. Sonia just joined in the podcast. We talked about y'all so good earlier.
Yeah, Sonia, I love Sonia and the kids.
Right.
But yeah, I was taught to be the light of the world, and then what that means is that you be the light of the world to everybody. Not just who you're wrong, because you are blessed to be in certain places. So especially my places of employment. Anywhere I'm actually, God puts you there. So I used to think, I used to be at a particular job, and I used to think, why am I here? Like, why am I here, Lord? Why am I here? What did I do wrong? I teach nobody, like, why am I here?
I've had many of those moments.
So man, as soon as I had that thought, somebody just so happened to come at my desk. Rodney can ask you a question, and I say, you know what? That's why I'm here. So I always say, you know what, God? I'm here to do your work. Yeah. This is tough, this is hard, but I'm here to do your work. And I got to a point that when I was leaving that place, I said, you know what? I'm not going to make a new conversation because I'm not going to reset this corner. I said, I talked to everybody I'm supposed to talk to. I thought like, nobody knew the new person working out. Hi, good day. Are you walking up? I didn't know what happened in your life. I'm not, because I was fed up. But we have to understand that we have no hands for our hands.
Yeah.
And that's just a part of me. And that's a part of me that she grew up in the sign. It's just, not that I have to be that person for anybody. I got to be friends. Just, no, we legit just trying to be happy.
Yeah.
And that's just what it is. And again, I don't play these people close to them. It's a conversation that keeps on moving. But people's people, and that's where I have such an awesome life. Where it balances off is that I might see myself as Noah being an arm of God's love, and someone else may say, you know what, this fella trying to, like, this fella trying to do some foolishness. So she's been ignoring Rodney. He's over not pull back and not, this shit crazy, this dude ain't got no sense. So that's where Bart's stuck, because we see it, and the thing is, why, and it's true why I believe taking advice from people. Because if I didn't say no to her, when I was now on the bird's perch, and I can see things she can't see, if I was being stubborn and listening to her, then why would she listen to me? So it's because I could have said, listen to her, and I said, you know what, this ain't necessarily the bad thing. This ain't not being whatever, her being this, her being that. This is her being caring.
Yeah.
So now when I see from her perspective, I say, but this dude doing this, this shit doing that, then she may, you know what, maybe that's true. But that's maturing, that's growth, and that's understanding that we have each other's best interests at all.
And we have each other's back. And so going back to individuality, but before we get there, and Dira says, beautiful, so proud of you guys. This is my good sister, yeah? But, so one more hour, no way.
Happy birthday, Daddy. We were with my daddy yesterday, and that was fun. That was long, so I thought we were just now. Oh, my, we were tired. Everybody's on there. We are tired, my little brother cook. My younger brother cook. So he had a lot of food. He had a lot of laughs. And we are tired. We were tired, but sorry.
Individuality. Individuality and oneness. So be yourselves. Yes. Be who you are. Be who that person who was who they fell in love with. You know, and that's just not physically. So I'm still here trying to lose that 20 pounds for next year.
I don't know. I love
the marriage rate, right? But in any event, be who that person was attracted to.
Yeah.
So be that fairest person, be that caring person, be that outgoing person. Know when it's appropriate, know when it's not. But understand that you're going to use your individuality to help to build your oneness.
Yeah.
Drop mic.
That's
the end, honestly. Like, that's all it is.
That's perfect.
Yeah. So, I mean, and we're just not talking from up high. We're honestly trying to actively do it. So, we're going to do that activity. Just out of our personalities and what it is that we enjoy doing. What we think the other person's personality is. We're going to switch papers. We're going to learn a little bit more about each other. And hopefully, we'll let you know how it goes in the next 2 weeks. In the next 2 weeks, guys.
That's very, 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 very special day. It's going to happen in the next 2 weeks. We're going to be celebrating that day. To see him, maybe celebrate my special, I'm not gonna come again. To me, especially my very special day, X30+, we're gonna celebrate her special day. And how we're gonna celebrate that special day, her lovely day is gonna be on Mondays. We're gonna go out to
December Sunday 14th, guys, that's my birthday. Mark it on your calendar, set your alarms, set up the fireworks. I wanna hear the sirens. Pew, 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 pew.
So we're gonna celebrate that. How we celebrate my day, gonna be a get to know Nadia day. They're going to be giveaways. We have giveaways last time to our sponsors. To she doesn't know now, you know now. To each other, one's going to sponsor or gift. Rainer's Boutique is going to sponsor a gift. Service Club is going
to sponsor. Anybody else wants to sponsor a gift, you're very free to do so.
Jay's on listen. That's his fault. Jay's Fitness is going to sponsor a gift. he should have listened.
Yeah, so ironlovepodcast@gmail.com. If you're interested in getting your brand out there and you want to sponsor a gift on my birthday, you are very free to do so.
Giving, so we're going to give gifts. On her birthday, I'm going to be out for her and give you guys gifts.
Yes.
So that's how it's going to work.
And there will be cake. You're not going to have my cake.
No, you can't have it because
it's social distancing. I mean, even if you could have had it, I would have eaten it before you had it.
So if you want to have a cake and bring it so you can watch and we can eat virtually together.
Ooh, what do you call it? A mukbang?
A mukbang, yeah.
I will eat in front of y'all. So y'all get all the ice cream.
Birthday thing, and you have to know you're watching and we eat together. Virtually because of COVID principles happening. So we're gonna definitely gonna do that. That's gonna be, you'll see some information about that. December 13th, I think it's gonna be the next.
Which is the day before my birthday, yeah. December 14th. Yeah, so in conclusion, Chico says, excellent conclusion. Renee says, love it, Nadia. Renee says, be yourself. Yes, be yourself so that y'all could be one together.
In the words of a famous American, actually Canadian philosopher, Aubrey J. Graham, know yourself and know your worth. And that's very important. Know yourself and know your work.
No, but you're wrong. You're saying that seriously. No, like,
he's a famous Canadian American.
He's a whopper.
He's a famous Canadian American boss. But he has a lot of profound things that he says.
You're saying that like
know yourself and know your work. That's very profound. I thought that was very profound, Melissa. I have that made.
See,
okay,
everything is a kiki, right? Ashanta says, beautiful guys. Always enjoy listening to both of you. Ashanta was there for the original presentation at the marriage ministry. Yes. Well, so we appreciate your support.
Thank you so much, man.
So, and Renee says, absolutely. So to each and every one of you that were tuned in for the podcast, we appreciate you. That's it. It's been another episode of Our In Love Podcast. We thank you so much for tuning in. We've enjoyed having you with us.
Yes.
Special thanks to all of you that tuned in. We appreciate you guys. Don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to our Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and stream this episode on all streaming platforms. And so until next time.
It's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun.
It's been real fun. I just like the all in the wild. Sonny Gills, so great stuff, guys. We love you.
This one is called Lover's Choice.
Real love. I'm still in love.
Let's see it.
'Cause love.